My favorite holiday of the year is coming up. Next week is Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday of the year because, well, it's a holiday that is spent with your family, and that's good if you like your family. I like my family, so that's a good thing for me. It's one of my favorite holidays because you get to be with your family, be seated around a table, eating good food. And the whole idea behind the holiday, at least it's supposed to be, the idea of Thanksgiving. Just thinking about the things that you have been blessed with. And some people just spend that day and think about the things that they've been blessed with. Some people take the whole month and think about, just have one thing each day, 30 days of thankfulness, because that's how many days are in November. And it's very uplifting, I think. Very uplifting to have a whole holiday where we collectively count our blessings. And I appreciate Dan leading that song a little while ago. Counting our blessings. The concept of Thanksgiving is one that is strewn throughout scriptures. It is all over the place. There are three words that I'm going to look at that are used to express this particular idea. In English, various forms of the word thanksgiving, thankful, things like that, are found 140 times in all of Scripture. That's 74 times in the Old Testament and 66 in the New. That's a lot of times. The Hebrew word is toda, which we actually referenced a bit in our class on Sunday, on our Sunday evening lesson. That is the word that is often translated as thanksgiving, and it's found 39 times in the Old Testament, translated as some form of thanks 24 times. The other word is yada. The other word is yada, found 114 times, but only translated as some form of thanks 40 times. And there's an Aramaic form of this word, yeda, which is found twice in the book of Daniel. In Greek, we see different forms of the word eucharisteo, and it's found 55 times, different forms of that particular word. We note with all of that that thanksgiving is a major part of the scripture, a major theme of the Bible. I want to look at some of those today or this evening. Leviticus chapter 7, we looked at that quite a bit extensively on Sunday evening, so I'm not going to read that. But we see that the idea of thanksgiving is there. They had these peace offerings, which are meant to be offerings of thanksgiving, offerings of praise to God, an acknowledgement for what he has done for us. This was meant as a free will offering to praise God for the great times that we have been given. And why wouldn't we want to thank him? Why wouldn't we want to praise him for the blessings that we receive? And that's a directive in the Old Testament of how we can offer thanks to him. What better way, the next point, what better way than to worship him or thank him in song? And there are a couple songs I want to look at, just brief things here and there because we don't have a whole lot of time. But 2 Samuel chapter 22, 2 Samuel chapter 22, this is a song, according to verse 1, this is a song that David sang when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies. And he was thankful for that. And in verse 50, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He was praising God and thanking him for being delivered. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, David offers another song, and this particular song is given to Asaph, one of the musicians, right after the Ark of the Covenant has been brought back to Jerusalem, and this song is sung here. And we see that some of these Levites, including Asaph, were appointed simply to thank God. We see this in verse 4. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And in verse 41, and with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. David and Asaph sang praises to God for the return of the ark to Jerusalem. In verse 7, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. That's how that song starts. It is a song of thanksgiving to God. This was so that they could restore the thankfulness, that they could restore proper worship to God. Do we rejoice when we get to worship God? I hope and I pray that we do. They were glad to worship God in the way that he wanted. In verses 34 and 35, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Thanksgiving, because he is good, his mercy endures forever. Thanksgiving for his salvation, for his deliverance, for the triumph that is in him. We see this in the Old Testament. We also see this in the New, which we'll get to in a little bit. In the first psalm of book 5, if you're not familiar, the book of Psalms is divided into 5 separate books of songs. And the first one in book 5 is Psalm 107. So let's turn there now. Psalm 107 is a psalm of thankfulness, of thanksgiving. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks. Now, this is going to sound a little repetitive, and it is, because you know, if the Lord repeats something, shouldn't we listen? I mean, if he says it once, we should listen. But if he says it again, we should really listen. And he says it again here in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This is a psalm of thanksgiving, and it's mentioned 6 times directly. It's thanking God for his enduring mercy. And it thanks God for his goodness and wonderful works, which is mentioned repeatedly. We see it in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that verse is repeated several times. Verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. Oh, that men would give thanks. Are we willing to give thanks? I pray that we are, not just one day out of the year, not just one month out of the year, but all year long. We also see in verse 21, and I'll, because it's mentioned in verse 22 as well, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. The sacrifice of thanksgiving references all the way back to Leviticus chapter 7. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, offering these gifts before the Lord, thanking him for what he's done for us. And they didn't even have full forgiveness of sins. We do in Christ. The New Testament talks about thanksgiving often as well. I won't turn to a whole lot of these for time's sake, but Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, do you remember the story of the 10 lepers who were cleansed and the one came back? Only one came back and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. And there's a little note there. He was a Samaritan. Man, the Samaritan is thanking me and not these, you know, that flips the script, doesn't it? You would think that according to the Jewish understanding of Samaritans, they're lowest of the low. And yet he was willing to thank and do the right thing, do a good thing to Jesus and thank him for what he's done. There is, in the next chapter in Luke 18, there is a hypocritical offering of thanks. Let's not be like that Pharisee saying, I thank God I'm not like that man. I'm not like this lowly tax collector. Let's not be like that. Let's not offer hypocritical thanks like the Pharisee did. Jesus also gave thanks before meals. We see this several times with the feeding of the 5,000 and the Last Supper. Paul did so as well when he was on the boat in the midst of a storm after having fasted for about 2 weeks in Acts chapter 27, verse 35. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, that food was meant to be received with thanksgiving. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and power. That was supper. I thank God for that. Make sure next week, when you're eating your Thanksgiving meals, I believe that you're going to be offering thanks, but really mean it. Because a lot of people don't get to have that. Let us make sure that we offer thanks when we have food before us. It's easy to take such things for granted. Paul frequently thanked God for those to whom he was writing in Rome, in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Philippi, in Colossae, in Thessalonica, and to the man Philemon. In every one of those books, we see, I thank God for you. I thank God for what you've done, for the works that you have done. Paul also lists that a lack of thankfulness in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, is a trait of those with dark and foolish hearts. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We should thank God for our salvation as well. For the victory is in Jesus, for his indescribable gift. And I've got three passages on that. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the victory. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, that gift of Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. This is Paul recounting his what happened to him when he was converted, that the Lord enabled him to enter the ministry because he was an injurious, he was a man who was terrible to Christians at that time. And yet the Lord saved him, and he thanks God for that. Let us thank God for our salvation, just as he thanked God for his. We should always be giving thanks, and our prayer should always be laced with thanksgiving. And because of time, I guess I won't read them all, but Ephesians 5:20, if you want to write these down, these are great. Ephesians 5:20, Philippians 4:6, Colossians 4:2, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Hebrews 13:15. I will look at that one because we referenced that on Sunday. That one, we talked about the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. But I left off the last part of that verse when I quoted it on Sunday. It says, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. And let us also keep in mind that whatever we do in word or we love Colossians 3:17 when it comes to authority. And we should. That's a good passage on authority. But how many of us forget the last phrase of that verse? And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us give thanks. And that is in the context, verse 16 talks about our singing as well. So let us give thanks to him. Whole sermons could be devoted to each of these points in each of these passages. The point I'm trying to get across is how important thankfulness is to us as Christians. I'm not trying to delve into each one of these things, but simply point out how important thankfulness is and thanksgiving. The pages of Scripture are dripping with gratitude to God for all of His mighty works. Let it not be for just a day or a month that we're thankful, but let us have this attitude all year long. I want to finish up with 1 Timothy chapter 1. So let's turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because this part is the invitation. One of the things that we are to be thankful for is our salvation. But that doesn't apply if you're not saved. If you're not one of God's children, or if you have fallen from grace, then you can't be thankful for His salvation. Because you don't have that. When we look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and I'll read and I'll read it again. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Will you obtain mercy and gain access to that exceedingly abundant grace? Will you follow His pattern that Christ has given to all those who believe? He believed. He repented. He was baptized. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call on the name of the Lord. That's what was told Peter in Acts 22:16. He went through so much for Christ. We see the pattern, His pattern of suffering. That we're looking at in 1 Peter. We see Paul's pattern as well of suffering, all the things that he went through. Are we willing to go through that as well? He went through so much for Christ, both internally as we read in places like Romans chapter 7 and externally as we read in 2 Corinthians 11. Yet he was so thankful for the exceedingly abundant grace given to him by God. Will you be thankful for that grace as well? I pray you are. And if you aren't, then you need to be. You need to become a Christian so that you can be grateful for that. If you need to make things right with God this evening, we stand ready to assist. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.